stirred up their curiosity. And Wade, when they looked at the tree after Satan asked the first question, that tree didn't look the same. They had to investigate and ultimately sin. But the first question was, did God tell you not to eat from that particular tree? Well, they did eat, and they had to find some things out that perhaps God didn't want them to know, and certainly at that time. Their eyes came open, and they discovered that they were naked. The Bible says they went and hid themselves, and about the cool of the day, God comes walking in the garden. And you know, I got a little dog at home, and the moment I pull up, the dog comes and meet me. If he's in the house, she's in the house, she's just there waiting to greet me. And I kind of believe that when God would come walking in the garden, that Adam and Eve would be somewhere to greet them. And the reason I believe that, because on this particular day, God comes walking in the garden, the Bible says, in the cool of the day, and it says that they heard him walking. But they hid themselves. And the second question is when God says, Adam, where art thou? And then the next question we goes to Adam, said, God, I heard you calling, but I was afraid to come because I was naked. You know the story. And so then it brings us to today's question, when Cain and Abel were bringing their gifts to God. And obviously Cain was giving God what he wanted to give God, and Abel was giving God all that he had. Doesn't that kind of sound like us today? Some of us give God what we want God to have, and some of us just give God all of us. We just give him our eyes and our hearts and our minds. And some of us think money is all you got that you can give God. But you can give God your heart. You can give God, like somebody just texting while I'm preaching, got the phone right in my face, just texting. You can give God your attention. You can give God your spirit. You can give God everything that you got. The writer says, I give myself away. Cain had killed his brother because God had accepted Abel's offering, but did not accept his offering. Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 says, and in the process of time, it came to pass. I like that verse because of what that verse says. Listen to your own life at what this verse says, and this verse will bless your life for the rest of your life. It says in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, it says, in the process of time, it came to pass. You know what? If you forget anything else that I say, remember this. If you can hold out, and if you can hold on, hold out. The old folks say, if you hold out till tomorrow, and if you can hold out through the night. Sometimes the nights get long, the nights get cold, the nights get lonely, the nights get painful, the nights get weary, the nights get lonely. But I need a witness when I ask you this morning, am I talking to somebody who's held out? It says, and it came to pass in the process of time. I don't care what bill you got, if you just don't shoot yourself in the head, hold on. In the process of time, it will come to pass. God has a way of getting us through all of the... I know I'm talking to somebody. I ain't the only one in here. That God has a way of getting you through your bills. troubles. God has a way of getting you through your sickness. God has a way of getting you through your trouble. God has a way of getting you through your trials. God has a way of getting you through this and through that. But it says in Genesis, and all of us ought to know this because it's in the first book of the Bible. And so there's no excuse for not knowing that that's in the first book of the Bible. It says, in the process of time, it came to pass. Look at the story. It says, Cain brought up the fruit of the ground and offering unto God, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings. That's the difference. The firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was wroth. And listen what the Bible says. Come here, it says, and his countenance fell. You know what? You don't have to ask people, is anything wrong? You can look at their countenance, and you can know by their face and their fallen face that something is wrong. And so when the question becomes, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. And what do I do? And how do I know my brother needs me when he won't talk? Look at his face. The Bible says that his face fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is it that thou countenance has fallen? Verse 6, and it says in verse 7, he says this. God can sometimes not be very sensitive. I discovered in this text that God is not always sensitive. I remember we had a floor furnace in our house, and my dad used to tell us, don't quit running. He would say, quit running. Quit running. You know, you run, you're going to fall on the furnace. Quit running. And it was just, we were just like little house dogs in our house. Every time somebody knocked on the door, we would take off running, and my dad would holler, stop running. And it got to a point, my dad went from saying, stop running, to keep running. Keep running. Keep running, keep running, keep running. I remember running out of there, bam, landing on that furnace. Well, I landed on my bottom and it took my hands to get me up. Got up just screaming, and my dad was kind of like God is with Abel Cain in this text. He says, well, if you do what's right, you won't fall on the furnace. And if you don't fall on the furnace, you won't burn your hands or your hind part. Listen, when Cain's face had fallen, God says to him, what's wrong with you? He says that your countenance has fallen. And he said to Cain, if you do well, thou shalt, your offering will be accepted. But if you don't do well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And verse 9 says, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. When the Lord inquired concerning Abel, Cain's question was, am I my brother's keeper? Where is your brother? I'm not my brother's keeper. Verse 9, and the Lord said unto him, where is your brother? And he says, I don't know where he is. I'm not his keeper. Am I my brother's keeper? This is a question that we would do well to ask ourselves today. You know what I thought about when I looked at this text? What if Omar Mateen, the 29-year-old killer in Orlando, Florida, had just had a brother keeping him, ministering to him, talking and leading him to God? Where would we be today if we all had somebody who was our brother. I'll talk about the brother in just a minute. What would happen? There would be less killing, less stealing, less shooting, less breaking, less fights, less trouble if we just had somebody who was willing to step up to the plate and be the brother. Are we our brother's keeper? Do we have and take the responsibility to watch out and to care one for the other? I believe that all of us out, I say us, all of us out here acting stupid are doing it because there is an unmet need in our heart that has not been ministered to, that's not been touched, that's not been fed, that has not been met. I think all of us who do stupid things are doing stupid things because there is some attention that we need and it's not happening. And I think when I look at what stupid stuff people are doing, and stupid is the best word I can come up with, I find myself saying, but God. I may have told you this, I know I've told somebody this. I went to Richard School. I won't call it school, but I went to a school to sit for a play, and I'm sitting there watching him do a play with all of these white kids, and then he comes out, and I'm sitting there with all these white people, and he comes out and he says, I'm a monkey. And he has ears and a tail pinned to him. And it was at that moment, sitting in that place with, and I'm not prejudiced, I love everybody. But it was at that moment, sitting in that place, watching people laughing, that if I had something, my mind just went to a place that it had never gone before. White people laughing at my son standing there as innocently as he could possibly be, saying, I'm a monkey. Now, I believe the problem is when those feelings come up in so many of us, there's nothing and nobody to help us control those feelings, those emotions. And so what I think is happening in this world, because it looks like we're going down and down and down and down. We have so many emotions that nobody is ministering to, so many feelings that nobody is ministering to. We need brothers. We need brothers, we need sisters, we need Christians to help keep us. All of us in this room, many of us in this room are just one step from a snap. Just a step from a snap. And if it were not for the Lord Jesus Christ, who was on many of our sides, many of us would have snapped a long time ago. It ain't that you have not snapped because your mind is so strong, the Lord kept you. It's not that you have not snapped because you got it all together and you're just all this, that, a bag of chips. The Lord kept you. I'm talking to somebody here today. Somebody ran out in front of your car, and if you had something with you, you could have snapped. And so am I my brother's keeper? Are we our brother's keeper? Do we have responsibility to watch out for one another? We do have responsibility to watch out for one another. We do have responsibility to care for one another. When one turns to the New Testament, it becomes clear that the answer is in the affirmative. In fact, there are many passages which emphasize our responsibility to one another. What's our responsibility to one another? Somebody said, we are to love one another. He says, love ye one another as I have loved you, as I have commanded you. He says, even a new commandment that I give unto you is that you love ye one another as I have loved you. I was Googling to find it, and I did find it, and I lost it when I found it. The psalmist says, where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love in our country like it used to be? I remember a time when we would go to the country, there was so much love there. And I've said this many times, at hog killing day, everybody got some bacon. Now, don't act like you don't know what hog killing day is. You know, when grandma collected eggs, everybody got some eggs. As a matter of fact, I even remember my granddaddy telling my mama and her brothers and sisters to hush because they would complain about how granddaddy would make them go out and pick bushels of vegetables just to give away to folk. What happened to the love? What happened to helping folk? What happened to sharing it? What happened to sharing what God has given to you? Really, what happened to being our brother's keeper? He says we are to love one another as a new commandment. It's taught by Paul, teaches us to love one another. Peter teaches us, as quick-tempered as he was, he yet teaches us to love one another. John teaches us to love one another. But the question becomes, how are we to express it? There are so many passages in the Bible that teaches us how to express it. How we show our love for one another. We are to receive. Paul says in Romans chapter 15, verse 7, he says, receive ye one another. Wherein receive ye one another as how so? The same way Christ receives us, we are to receive others. People will look at you right quick and they'll call you, well, you're so light. You're so dark. Well, you're so tall. You're so short. You're so thick. You're so thin. You're so skinny. Well, your hair is too short. Your hair is too long. And sometimes I want to say, for who? For who? Receive ye one another as I have received you. He says, that's how we are to do it. He says we are to edify one another. Paul says in Romans chapter 14, verse 19, he says, edify one another. Mama taught us, she may not have been reading the scripture, or grandma may not have been reading the scripture, but when they told us, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all, they were really saying, we are our brother's keeper. Paul says it in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, he says, we serve one another. All of us are waiters and waitresses, and that's what waiters and waitresses do. They serve. And God has called us to be waiters for our brothers. We are to be waiters for our brothers. We are to wait. We are to serve our brothers. If I can help one somebody as I pass along the way, then, not if I can get a nice Cadillac, if I can get a nice pair of shoes, if I can get a nice house, if I can get a nice car, if I can get a nice vacation, but if I can help one somebody as I pass along the way, then my living shall not be in vain. We serve, we show our love, we are our brother's keepers when we learn how to forgive one another. But not only do you keep your brother when you forgive your brother, you really keep yourself. The men talked about it yesterday at the men's conference by saying, the less stress you have, the longer you live. The less stress you have, the longer you live. So we got to learn how to let some stuff go. Just got to learn how to let it go. Somebody say, let it go. I know your neighbor's dog shouldn't have done that, but let it go. Amen. They got plastic bags that fit around your hand just very nicely. Just take your bag and clean your yard and let it go. Now, the next time it happened, have a little conversation with your neighbor, but just a little conversation. Because that dog is not worth you going to sleep and stressing out and stroking out over. We keep ourselves, we keep our brothers by submitting one to another. Have you ever seen how nasty people can be when you're driving your car and they won't let you in? I mean, the light right there, you'll be stopped in about 20 seconds, but you almost run an individual over because people are too mean to let you merge in. My oldest sister, I wouldn't care if it was a river on the other side of you and you're about to fall in it. My sister won't let you merge in. She's not gonna let you. And matter of fact, she'll speak, not getting in here. And I'm like, it's only one. There's the light there. You can't go nowhere. We keep our brothers when we submit one to the other, and then we exhort one another. Paul says it. He says it very well in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. He says, exhort one another. Say something nice. Do y'all not know? And a lot of us are guilty of saying, I don't need anybody to say anything good about me. I don't need to hear anything nice about me. All of us in this room like to hear nice stuff. That's why you wore what you wore. You're happy when somebody say, nice dress, nice earrings, nice this, nice hat, nice suit, nice car, nice sermon, nice anything. Everybody likes affirmation. You look good today. Nice smile. Everybody, you look good today. He says in here, exhort one another. Make a concerted effort to make somebody feel good. But listen here, listen, come here. He's not saying make people feel good. When you make other people feel good, do you know what that does for you? It makes you feel good seeing another person feel good. So Paul is not saying just go around, make everybody happy and you be sad. No, he's really telling us if you go around here and bless other people, then the Lord is going to bless you. If you lift other people up, then the Lord is going to lift you up. If you make other people smile, the Lord will make you smile. If you keep your brother, then the Lord will keep you. Somebody say amen. Yeah. And so am I my brother's keeper? He tells us in this text how to show our love for one another. But then he talks about in this text evaluating our role as brother's keepers. He's saying, really, Paul and is really telling us in Romans, he's saying, take some time to think about what it means to be my brother's keeper. Take some time to think about it. When one becomes a brother, do we receive them into the family of God? Absolutely. Or do we just ignore them? You gotta receive people into the family of God. You got to welcome people in. He says in Romans chapter 15, wherefore receive ye one another in Christ, as Christ also received us unto him to the glory of God. Receive ye one another. That's what that line is called back there at the end of the service. It's called the receiving line. And I don't care how tired I am, most times I go back because you don't get a chance to hug people. You don't get a chance to encourage people or be encouraged. Do you not know that when you encourage, you get encouraged at the same time? That's what being my brother's keeper is. And so when one becomes a brother, we edify. We then begin to edify and not be stumbling blocks one for another. As individuals, we are not to just be body builders, but we are to encourage the members of the body. By our own example, by our words, by our attitudes, we are to be there. We are to submit one to another as we submit to God. We are to serve people. We are to help people. We are to embrace people. When a brother is overtaken in a fault, what do we do? It says in Hebrews chapter 10, he says, consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves into the together. Come to church. Welcome people to church. That's what being brothers keepers are. It's not just giving what he gives and making sure that there's something to put in the offering, but there's also something to put in your heart. We evaluated our own conference on yesterday, and we all agreed that the only thing missing is the other man that we could have brought here. That's all that was missing yesterday. The knowledge was there. The conversations was there. The spirit of the Lord was there. The tears were there. We acknowledged the only thing that's missing in here is there's another man that we could have brought to get this same fellowship, to get this same knowledge, to get this same information, to get this same bacon, eggs, and sausage that we're getting. There's another man that could have been here. And even when I look around in this place today, Lewis, what a great song it was to be able to sing, there's a sweet spirit in this place. Out of all I've been through, out of all you've been through, when you can go through a storm and go through the rain and go through the flood and go through the fire, and then in your own life, go in your house and say, there's a sweet spirit in this place. When you can have problems on your job and walk back into your job and say, there's a sweet spirit in this place. Then guess what? The only thing missing then is somebody else who needs to experience the sweet presence of God. It's the only thing that's missing in this place today is on the pew that you sit and the place that I sit, somebody else needed to be here hearing there's a sweet spirit. Somebody else needed to be in here experiencing the sweet spirit, because in all of our lives, the wind is going to blow and the storm is going to rise. And if somebody can just remind us that there's a sweet spirit in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your sickness, in the midst of your trials, there's a sweet spirit. That's what being my brother's keeper is all about. Come here, being able to say, come and go with me to my Father's house. That's what being a brother's keeper is. You know what? Somebody called me yesterday and they cried the whole time they talked. A frat brother called me crying the whole time he talked. And I thought that maybe a little money might would help. But as he talked, he says, I said, what do you need? He said, I gotta have a car. Nah. I ain't in the car. I don't have a car. I can't just give folks cars. And so I said, well, you know, they got Uber, they got all this kind of stuff. So I talked about other ways of moving around. And he said, well, I can do that. I need a place to stay. I ain't got nowhere you can stay. You know, don't have a place to stay. I don't have a car for you to drive, but what I do have is I can tell you that if you hold on and hold out, I've been where I didn't have a car, and the Lord made a way. I've been where I didn't have a roof over my head, and the Lord made a way. I said, you might need to take your mind off of the car and take your mind off of the house. Stop crying. And just like, come here, like you're naming everything that you don't have, let's talk about what you got. Let's talk about what you got. Because if you got a right mind, you got a healthy body, you got a good spirit, everything that you lost, you got it with your health and strength and a good mind. Get up and go do it. I say, text me after you feel better based on what you've done productively. And it was about 11 o'clock last night. My phone said, ping. And it was this same brother saying, I feel better. I can do better. I'm getting up. I'm doing this. Sometimes a brother's keeper is not always walking in your valley, but it's encouraging a person to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, because the Lord is with you. I'm closing with a tell you this. When a brother, being a brother's keeper is being there with somebody, even when they're in a fault. I love this piece that Paul talked about. In Galatians, he says, when brothers in the fault, bear the burdens. Bear the burdens. And there are some friends and there are some people in your life. And it's not always family. It's not always people that you know who can turn out to be the best brother's keeper that you could ever find. So sometimes that brother's keeper is the person that God sends to your life. And when God sends that person to your life and God sends that person to encourage you and to hold you up and to lift you up, know that God has not left you. God has not forsaken you. God always has somebody. Yesterday in the conference, one of the young men said, God always wins. God always wins. God always wins. God always wins. You always come out a winner with God. You may not come out with the same house. You may not come out with the same job, but you always come out good. You always come out on top with God. So what's missing? The only thing missing as yesterday was another man to share in that fellowship. The only thing missing today is another person to share in that fellowship so that you could squeeze their hand and tell that person, I don't care what you're going through. God's going to see you through. Now, let me ask you this before I leave you. Am I talking to some people who can say, I know God will see you through? Am I talking to somebody who can say, I know God will see you through? I know God will see you through. I want the men on this Men's Day, brothers, keepers. I want the men who attended the leadership conference to stand this way. Quickly, to come stand this way and face this audience. I want the men who attended this leadership conference to come this way. Here's the practical part. Here's the practical piece. If you attended yesterday, if you were here yesterday, if you were here yesterday, just those who were here yesterday, if you were here yesterday, I want you to face the audience. Just face the audience. Face the audience. Yeah. Wait, not yet. As they call. I want every young man. Wait. Do you know how many of these men made it? There was somebody. Now, you know, when you're a kid, a 35-year-old man is an old man when you're a kid. Y'all understand that. And so for most of us, there was an old man. He may not have been but 35. He may not have been but 40. But there was somebody who embraced us. Who embraced us. People ask me why I sing with Charlie Wells and the Voices of Cloud, and if I was going to sing, why didn't I get with some young guys? I've always had an old man like Charlie Wells embracing me in my life. Somebody to say, you're right when you're right, you're wrong when you're wrong. But a Christian man to kind of help steer me along the way. In this church, we have wonderful, these men who are here as well as men who are seated, are wonderful Christian men who could be a mentor, a father for any young person in this church. I want every young man, every young man that's in our congregation present today, please stand. Every young man in the audience, every young man, if you want to say boy, every boy, every boy, every boy, every young man, every young man, stand and remain standing, stand and remain standing, stand and remain standing. You too. Yes, you, yeah, that's right, yeah. Now, whether you know these men or not, I want you to walk up, I want you to come up, and for lack of better terms, get your man and stand by him. One man. Just you come and you stand by a man. Yeah, come and you stand. One young man to a seasoned man, just one. Yeah, everybody go to a man. Yeah. All right. Brother Coleman, I want you to come and get a man. Brother Dix, I want you to come and get a man. Brother Steve, I want you to come. Look like me. I want you to come and get a man.
I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me.
Now, if you're standing here and you don't have a man, let me see your hand. If you're standing, you already here and don't have a man, let me see. A young person didn't come to you. All right. All the way down. Everybody got, everybody on my end. Y'all got somebody came to you. Everybody, everybody, everybody. Brother Bernard, would you come up? Would you come up? Brother Bernard, would you come up? And I want you. This is going to be Rodney. Rodney, who else did not get a man? Did not. That may not sound good, but I hope my y'all know my heart is right. Brother Atkins, would you come?